I don't know what
The
this means.
dilemma. This
I
is
just feel like
recording.
we talk as much as possible at the beginning just to give me some sort of outtake to put at the beginning.
I don't want that. Oh God, it doesn't matter. But how gross to put at the beginning of an episode.
I
How
didn't
awful.
say anything like graphic.
It's gross. It's gross to think about. I don't know. We have very. I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. No. I'm not even. I'll come up with another one.
We'll see.
Hey, Rob, you hear about the funny
That's our outtake.
Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights.
God, I'm terrified of starting this episode.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome, everybody.
I think it's a perfect if because this is like our are we calling this our anniversary episode?
This
Is
is
that
1 year. This is coming. You just brought it up. We're not good at being ahead of our game. This episode will be coming out 1 day shy of the 1 year anniversary.
so we are at least we are thinking about how this factors into the history of our podcast, which I think is great. I don't know, like, the episode itself, how it's going to go. I think it's interesting that the amount of trepidation we have with episode number one, with like the first conversation we even had was, why do we have this podcast? I think the energy that both of us are bringing into today's episode is, what are we doing?
It's very similar to the first episode, that's for sure. And I do have to apologize to the listeners because I'm sorry we're not calling you the viewers. I think Colton and I nixed that pretty quick to her.
I don't think we have to apologize. I think they should thank us.
I
I
agree
think
with
it's
that.
a I would love a day when we have like a studio and there's like decoration. There's no benefit to seeing us in our rooms, one of which is somewhat cluttered and blurred. I'd still blur it so
Yeah,
no one
it's
could see
still
it.
very blurry in the background, and I'm sitting on a bed, everybody. This is not a entertaining image. I don't think if you were watching us right now, you'd be like, "Oh, I'm more captivated."
We're radio. We're old time radio. That's I
That's right.
prefer it anyway. Come on. It's like, would you rather listen to a baseball game or watch it? I don't know.
That was terrible.
That's a terrible what watch. Watch Colton. We're done. Okay.
We're talking about music. Music's audible. We're audible.
I've been wanting to tell you this for really the last like month and a half, and we've had conversations outside of this podcast because we do have conversations with each other, and it's never had I've never had a chance to bring it up, so now's as good as any. Do you know, for the past at least month, since February, moving into March now, I've been vegetarian, like
Oh,
full-blown
really?
vegetarian.
Nice. Nice. I think I told you. Actually, I don't know if I told you. I've tried my best. I'm not perfect, but I've tried my best to not eat pigs or cows.
That's okay. So that you're a very specific kind of vegetarian. You don't care about chickens, and you've gone on record telling me you hate chickens.
I didn't say I hate
Most
chickens.
fowl. Most fowl.
I'll eat a bird, is what I'm getting at. I'll eat a bird and I'll eat a fish. But I would have a cow or a pig as a pet. In fact, yesterday I went over to my buddy's pad and he had a pig there. He rescued this pig. And
Yeah.
its name is Wednesday. Wednesday, I love you in case you're listening.
The pig is
But
not listening to this podcast, but
he
go
might
on.
be. He
Continue.
might, or she might be. Sorry. But I fell in love. I've always known that I wanted a pig as a pet.
I
And
can see you as a rescue shelter farmer slash future.
I like
I
that.
can see it. I definitely can. I feel I will not have that future. I
Well,
my
you hate animals.
vegetarianism has nothing to do, like in no way whatsoever. Okay. There is some things we watched a documentary. This is like the most like bourgeois way of becoming vegetarian. We watched a documentary and it was all about like the healthiness, right? The nutrition aspect of going vegan, which I'm not technically vegan. I eat eggs, but I'm also lactose intolerant, so I don't eat a lot of dairy. But it's also just the amount of environmental impact that the meat industry has. And I will maybe one day slip off of it. I'm not like, hardcore, but it's been nice, and I do not miss meat.
Hey, when I'm hungry, I eat a burger. If I have to, if that's all I have around, it's like, damn it. All right.
Impossible. Go Impossible, man. This is brought to you by Impossible Burgers, Impossible Meat. That is so good.
I've thought about it. And I've also heard about how they were doing lab grown meat.
I mean, I don't know how they make it possible, but that stuff is, it is not the same as it used to be when you were eating like tofu dogs and it was awful. Like, I think it's a lot easier now.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Hey, people, live your lives.
But it is really funny you said that. A lot of people, when I tell them I won't eat pork or beef, go, oh, that's a really healthy decision. I'm like, no, it's because I'm a sucker for how adorable I find cows and pigs to be.
I just like that you're so open about the fact that it's only animals you find adorable, and those that you don't, you go,
I'll eat
you know,
it. I'll eat it. How are we starting? We already started the podcast.
We're in it. We're in it, buddy.
We don't have a song of the week. I think we both were saying we were going to talk about our last year.
Here's what we did, and this is a conversation we had earlier. We've had several different kind of, we'll call them retrospectives, because we had our first episode of the year, and I remember we talked about, really, I think it was our favorite and least favorite song of that year that we went over, of the calendar of 2023.
Yep.
I think our discussion, which I'm prepared for, definitely, I'm ready to drop a bomb, actually. But
that makes one of us.
The discussion is, in this year of us doing this, is there one opinion that you would change? We're pulling a pitchfork where we go back into our bag of a, and we've had so many. It's been so fun to just shoot from the hip and say really blatant generalizations. Would we change any one of those things? If we could take it back, and this could be in any way, doesn't even have to be a song category.
Yeah.
What would you decide?
Oh no, you have to start this.
I'm ready. I'm ready to.
Exactly.
Maybe here's the thing. I did not do the math, but I think about how many songs we have listened to for this podcast, and a number of which, sure, I'd heard or I have done listening for, but a lot of others where not only have I not heard them before, but I was not seeking them out. I was not like, God, what is that Final Thursday record called again? I want to listen to that right now. Like, I'm not doing that. But there's one song that I heard that I would never have listened to again that I think we both had some derision for. I think I was writing for a bit harder than you. That's a clue, by the way.
Obviously.
I was writing for it. And I don't think I had it for a category. And it is literally the only song for this podcast that I still sing in my head today. It's still in my brain. It's The Hives' Giddy Up. I'm going to go back to that episode.
That's so funny.
That is my underrated of the entire podcast. The underrated track. And when I heard it again today, and I was like, you know, this song's actually fucking genius. It's
yeah,
really
sure it is.
Good.
Sure it is. Whatever you say, big
they
guy.
Managed to take a formula. They are so ingrained in who the Hives are. If you go back, anyone who you're like, oh, I want to listen to that episode. I think we had a great conversation about the Hives, because they're a band where they can be really difficult to analyze, right? They are so, and I think proudly to their point, they have a formula, more or less, that they stick to, that they know works. And they're such tight songwriters and musicians that it does. Something like Giddy Up is such a weird break that when I hear
Thank
it again...
Thank you for saying that, Tor. I'm like, that song is not in the Hives formula.
Oh, not at all. But God, how does it work for me? It definitely still works. And that weird little guitar solo that's very Isaac Brock. Like, the whole thing is Isaac Brock.
It's right. It's Modest Mouse. That's what would make it a good song. I don't need to hear, what is his name, Pele from the Hives. I don't need to hear him do it. If anything, sell this song. Sell
watch
this song.
It because we're about to have a long conversation about a band where I have the same opinion.
Oh, no. No. You're going to have to reverse the opinion.
You would
not rather Weezer. This is going to be such a blast.
This is such a... Okay, I kicked this off. That is, everyone, Giddy Up is our podcast's new unofficial anthem that Rob does not recognize. That face. Now I wish we had a camera so you could see his face.
Yeah, I'm not in on this one. I was trying my best scrolling through all our episodes. Can I gather anything from it? Which I can't. People will message me who... Our buddy Corey messaged me, and he was just like, you guys got the Decemberists all wrong.
He messaged me the same thing, and when I tried to follow up, I couldn't get a hold of him.
I was able to follow up a little bit, but I had to tell him, like, you realize I don't know what happened in that episode anymore. Colton and I do this every 2 weeks,
You said some really awful things. I was
I
also
did
like, wow.
I listened to the whole damn episode because he brought that up. The only thing I could see from looking at this list is I would change the fact that on Spotify, episode 2 is our first episode. It starts with the Manchester Orchestra, and then it goes to Weezer. And it says episode 2, episode 1. You know, that's all I can really think
of.
That
is the most basic choice, but go ahead, please.
I can't recall all our episodes. I don't even when you brought up Giddyup, I'm like, oh, that's right. I hated Giddyup, and I think you've mentioned on recent episodes
that it's stuck around. I was building up to this moment, and not like was it, sometimes I'd be washing the dishes or just doing something else. I'd be like, why is Giddyup in my head right now? This is
terrible,
insane. Literally no other song. Like when I was kind of going through the list of all the bands we've done, I'm like, am I listening to any of these bands right now? Not a one.
Yeah, it's not really.
It's a weird curse, I think.
I'll have a song stuck in my head for the 2 weeks of listening to the artist, but once we're done, I cut it out. And to be fair, you and I have different realities to how this podcast hits us. You have to listen to it. Basically, the structure is I'll send it to Colton to where he gets to listen and review and give me his notes for the Thursday before we release it. My mind has to check out by the time that episode goes up. I'm just like, I'm over it. I have to just move on.
That is the beauty of the podcasting / opinion economy, which is just dump those opinions out into the world.
Yep.
Clear your brain, upset folks, and then totally not have good. A memory of.
Yeah. But what I was saying about with Corey, you can't just think that I remember everything.
First of all, Corey, return my phone call. I think you might have, and I'll try calling you again. But if you're listening to this, if your opinion is something about how they're, what is that latest record that we trashed, Rob?
I blocked it out. I don't remember anymore.
Wait a second. I'll get this. So, Corey, if this is you trying to defend I'll Be Your Girl by the Decemberists, how dare you? Let's do this. Should we take a break and then dive into Ozma?
Yes, we definitely should take a break for no specific reason.
That's fair. Everyone, see episode before this one if you want to understand this. Like
two episodes ago. It's technically two episodes ago. Yeah.
Jesus. Okay. Take it away, Leo.
Been doing this for a year.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseblown on social media and discord.gg/baseblown for our Discord. Baseball and Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
God, I
clearly
hate
we're not recording. We're not recording.
Christ.
Well, I mean, we are recording, but that
we're
won't
recording
be.
This whole time. That's fine.
It won't be in the episode. We still have to come back from the break. You want to take us back in, or do
you do it?
All right,
you go.
Welcome back. Thank you, Leo.
Oh my God! So you had this idea, and I want you to open this for us, because when we were talking about what to do for our anniversary episode. Mm-hmm. I floated the idea of going back to Weezer, which was our band number one, and has in a lot of ways been the way of deciding how we think of songwriters in the future is going back to Weezer. They are the perfect 5 out of 10 band.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's really easy to compare every other band we listened to how we felt about Weezer. Because honestly, when we started this whole thing, I think we were just going to talk about music, and then I turn it into like, let's really criticize and choose favorite, worst, and let's give them a rating at the end to even berate them that much more.
And Weezer was the perfect band to try it out on.
Excellent choice.
But
I didn't want to go back to Weezer because I didn't want to do that again.
I don't think either of us really wanted to do that to ourselves. That's fair.
I'm down to listen to 2 albums, maybe 3, 4, could kind of.
But
okay, yeah. And it just, I was like, well, let's listen to what Weezer was supposed to be, even in Rivers Cuomo's own words. He was asked in, I think, 2001 what he suggests listeners listen to some good Weezer. And he brought up
Rock and Roll Part 3.
Yeah, Rock and Roll Part 3. Yeah.
And Pet Sounds. I saw that note.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
I'm listening to Pet Sounds.
Yeah. I've been listening to Pet Sounds. It's just gross.
Literal.
Sorry.
Pet Sounds.
Sorry. But so, I'm gonna pull something out of our comrade Leo's pocket here and what he does on the wonderful podcast Chit Show.
Okay.
I think the last episode or the episode before was Facing New York, which I said, I think it's our least known band that we've discussed. I think Ozma might be in the same pocket. So I'm just going to read from what I have here. Ozma is an American rock band from Pasadena, California. The band's sound is a mix of nostalgic new wave, influenced power pop, and contrapuntal cassiotone driven melodies sustained by heavy guitar riffs. How do you say contrapuntal?
I don't know, but I already have issues with how they're describing them. This, just to be clear, everybody, we're reading from the Wikipedia page.
Yeah. From the Wikipedia page.
Just to give credit.
Still my thunder. Jeez. But they were formed in 1995, and they have five albums. Then they've toured U.S. and all that stuff doesn't matter after that.
Mm-hmm.
And including excessive touring with stylistically similar groups, including Weezer. And we don't have to say the rest of that list.
That list is absurdly long for a bunch of bands that they do not sound like. Here's another way. If you're unfamiliar with Ozma, in the year of our Lord, around the year 2000 or so, that you and I mean, we talked about this. We met, we're friends more or less around like 2003 or four is when we met. And you were the one that showed me Ozma. I don't think I was really aware of him before that, but the word
you probably
on the street,
didn't listen to him at all.
I don't. Yeah, I likely might not have heard. Eventually, right? But the thing is, everyone would say the same thing if they showed somebody Ozma, which is this band sounds exactly like Weezer. And at that point in Weezer's career,
it sounds like Weezer should be.
Exactly. Yeah. The idea was this is good Weezer, because at the time Weezer was seemingly done putting out good. I think this was around Green Album, right? For Weezer.
Yeah.
And so this is like the sliding doors, if you're familiar with everybody, the idea of like two different paths in your life that you go on. Yeah. This is the sliding door where Weezer decides, hey, let's keep kind of sticking to more or less, right, manner of operations we did with those earlier records and see what happens from there. I take issue with that premise now that I listen to them, but that is how they were discussed. And when I heard them originally and you showed me like Natalie Portman, Baseball, Apple Trees, I was like, this is cool, because I was also like, hey, good Weezer. Great.
Yeah. Okay. And well, here's the thing is they definitely branch off of it, and it's the worst decision they make, because there's a stretch. I'll give a little bit away. I don't really care for the last two albums.
Oh, no, I don't. Oh, not at all. Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the thing is I blame one person, Rivers Cuomo, because he felt like he should bring them in. They need to tour with us, because he heard the same fucking thing. I'm certain.
I think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, wasn't the idea is that Weezer allowed people to vote on the bands that should open for them? And the fans chose Ozma.
For obvious reasons.
Right. So it wasn't like Weezer plucked him out. But after that, Weezer wanted to keep bringing him on.
And I think we had this little stretch in the podcast where we would, you know, what's the album by Weezer? Everything Will Be All Right in the End? Or and we would always say Everything Wasn't All Right.
Yeah.
Ozma co-wrote a song with Weezer on that album. Eulogy for a Rock Band.
Oh.
How unbelievably fitting is that?
I need to take a step back here, because there's a few things. One, I agree with you. And listener, if you've heard these records, Pasadena and Boomtown are a considerable drop. And now it's like a horse race. Which of those do we pick for worst album? I know for myself.
I do too. Yeah.
In listening back to this, and maybe this is a good like opening discussion to have. Where do we draw a line between influence and plagiarism? Kind of, because I think the line in the first record, Rock and Roll Part 3, it's more at this point to me an uncanny valley effect, where I hear it and all I hear is Weezer, and I'm now older where I feel like that is not a compliment for me. It is a weird kind of echo. It's like watching an animal wearing clothes. Like, it doesn't feel right. There's something about it I don't like.
I'm okay with it, because I think that the band is actually made to be a better Weezer, because the two vocalists, I mean,
how weird to have that be your identity.
But it's not entirely, because I do think that while there are songs that do sound, like you said, clear I'm not going to say clear, but it really sounds like ripping off. I also think that they also enhance ideas that Weezer has, and I have a very controversial statement to say later on.
Can I?
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's a theory, like in literary criticism, right? This dude, Harold Bloom, wrote this book, Anxiety of Influence. And this is my rough take on it. I don't like Harold Bloom's criticism that much. But the idea is that every artist is seeking to respond in some way to the artists who came before them. And there's like this, it's basically trying to trace like how you find these evolutions of art over time. Mm-hmm. And I can see, right, a theory of, okay, if they're inspired by this band, right, which they clearly are, trying to take those ideas of what they think makes Weezer great and then take them further. I think my problem in listening, and again, it really is that first record that I had this issue with.
Yeah.
It's, I think if the vocalist was different, if it's his melodies, man. His melodies are, like, you can go to the power chords, right? I mean, Weezer doesn't own power chords.
Of course.
It's the voices...
But it's two voices. That's the interesting thing to me. My God, I can't remember.
But can you tell me when one is singing and the other isn't?
No, but that's kind of the fascinating thing. It's like you have two. It's Ryan and Daniel. How odd is it that you found two of the perfect choices to do a Weezer cover band on top of that, which let's go with just Secret Sauce right away. What's the secret sauce or the magic sauce? I think we've evolved it over this last year, everybody. 1 year.
Starwick. I honestly don't know. I disagree, but go ahead.
I think the organ and the keyboard is actually the secret sauce to this band.
I think I'll say earlier on, I agree with you. I think
I feel like I don't know what the hell happened.
I'm thinking in those, and she's not, I think, playing on Rock and Roll Part 3.
I think she is actually on all of those. They had another keyboardist, but I think that was before the five studio albums.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think 1998. So it is Starwick.
Yeah.
I'll take your point that in those first two or three, especially, the keyboardists work well. I don't know, man. It's hard for me in terms of, in listening to those first three, which are really the three where I think the best stuff comes out of, where I think my enjoyment's coming out of it. And I did enjoy, like, I don't think I sound like I like Ozma.
You never sound like you like anything, to be completely fair. I've learned over this year. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
There are things I really liked. I think it's just that first record, I was expecting to go back to it like an old friend. And it was kind of like if you're at a party and you hear someone who's like laughing in a room and it's like a friend that you used to know, and you're like, but you think, I don't really want to go into that room. That's kind of my...
I miss my old buddy who I saw go into the center of a mosh pit and do the bullhorns and like charge at another one of our friends. And I know that that person's dead because I believe you said it two episodes ago. You're in the You Can Call Me Al stage of your life.
Yeah.
Where when I was listening to these albums, I was like, I don't think Colton's going to enjoy this because it's too energetic. I'm really nervous about this because I'm like, what?
Not,
think about the bands we're going to talk. What? It makes sense. You've literally discussed this.
I'm like, I don't like hate energetic music now. That's
you're just tired by it.
No, here's the thing.
I need you to explain this a little bit further.
I think music that is, and I think Ozma is a great example in Rock and Roll Part 3, which I know we're going to talk about later, so we can save some of this if you'd like. All I'll say is I find that songs that are written from a space of immaturity, like emotional immaturity, which when you're a kid, of course, you're emotionally immature. And sometimes it's older people writing emotionally immature songs for younger people, which sometimes is weird. Blink 182. Other times is...
God, have you heard their new song?
Can work.
It's awful. And I understand where they're coming from, but it's awful. I'm sorry.
I didn't go down that road.
I'm throwing shade at them. It's a bad song.
But it's harder now. And that's why with Facing New York, going back to some of those tracks, it was harder to just jump into some of those tracks because they're written with such honesty about that part of their lives that it's something where it's harder for me to, as eloquent as it's stated, really buy into it. Because you have to be able to buy into the feeling for the song to work. That's how those really honest songs work, right? And I think with Ozma, there are songs on that first record that are about such kind of like immature longing that are really beautifully arranged, right? But it's harder sometimes. I like energy. I have tons of energy. I don't know why I'm getting so defensive about this. I have tons of energy.
I don't know. I just feel like
we throw back my card
regular listeners. Yeah, exactly. throw back your cardigan. Regular listeners, you tell me if I'm talking out of turn. I was nervous about it when I was listening to some of the songs. I was like, man, this might give Colton a heart attack. There's
my that issue. Drum beat more is going is, quick. I mean, I don't think the drummer's very good. I totally disagree.
I think the last two albums the drums aren't good because it's not the same drummer.
That's okay. That's fair too.
Which is an interesting thought to me is they lose the drummer. We've talked about this before, where sometimes you lose that drummer, the sound just dwindles. It falls apart because it's the backbone of the song, you know?
But I think the way that they approach writing, like to me, you want to know what my magic sauce is for Ozma? I'm thinking about it now. And I was going to talk to you about this before. The interplay between the guitarists, I think is their secret. Like the way, and they do this at the beginning of Spending Time on the Borderline, right? That opener.
Ba-na-na-na. 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 Yeah, it's great. Like,
they have, and they do it in other tracks too. It's kind of it's one of their wheelhouse things, right? But they do it to such good effect that.
But. Well, then I think we can meet in the middle on this because there's also I agree with the guitar interplay, but the keys have such an interplay with the guitars as well.
When it's playing the melody and it's not overstepping, I agree with you.
And you know what's funny is they do a reverse Nirvana to where Nirvana would have the vocal melody. And when it came time for the solo, guitar solo is just going to be the vocal melody.
Right.
Whereas I almost called them Weezer, where Ozma will start a song with what will become the vocal melody. Baseball, Battle Scars. They do it for Borderline. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a... That's mm-hmm. the vocal melody later on.
Yeah, they do for it. for the chorus, yeah.
Yeah, for the chorus. They do it so much, and I think it's such a cool... I found it to be kind of part of their formula. Maybe that's also a little magic sauce as well.
And it feels like it's them.
It feels right. like
it,
them.
It feels unique to them, which is, I don't know. I'm not getting with cards. You want to just get into categories? Is that before we start to reveal all of our shit? I'm biting it off. I'm like, let's do it. I keep wanting to tell you some of my choices. I don't want to mess it up.
Well, let's all do right. it. I'd Best rather song. You start with a lot of it.
Hey, I can roll this. Actually, my song is great to start with because my best song is Restart. Off of Spending Time on the Borderline.
A good song.
I was so surprised, and like a lot of that record, I was surprised by how delicate, like the first two, are a lot of like, and even the more kind of quote unquote delicate songs in Rock and Roll Part 3, it's not like the guitar work, the melodies, they're very broad, right? Yeah. Which can work really, if you're a power pop band, that's mm-hmm. broadness is like your bread and butter, but there's so much more of Spending Time on the Borderline. Reminds me of like Get Up Kids or Pavement, 90s, early 2000s emo-esque things. And Restart is a great version of that.
Yeah. Restart is incredible. And it fits into where just with that entire album, it takes a step away from being Weezer-esque. When I listen to that, them at their most mature writing style, everybody, because I think all of the members want to be, especially the two guitarists and the bass player, those three are like really trying to be virtuosos,
right?
And on this album is when they really shine. They really come into where it's like, oh, you're writing from like a what's the word I'm like music theory stance, where what you guys are doing is advanced musicianship, as opposed to, you know, like the previous albums to where they're kind of going for obvious pop punk tropes or Weezer.
And I think that's the issue, right? When you start to see them paint with like different shades of color and not this like, big primary colors, like you get a song like this where it hits like emotional parts that I wasn't expecting. Like it's actually, I do not like their lyrics. Like even in the songs that I like, I don't think their lyrics are great. And like, well, and I think that's
I don't think they're supposed to be to a certain extent.
And that's the Rivers Cuomo of it all, again, where it's hard to not roll my eyes at. I get it, because Rivers doesn't write with, like, tons of verbose kind of language. But I think this track in particular, and others on this record, but this track in particular, there's, like, emotional resonance, right?
Yeah.
Like, I always get a sense of your life's at a certain stage and wanting to see if you could pick things up again, or, I don't know, there's a broad enough part of the content where I can like give it space to breathe. I don't have to just like nail down that's what the song is.
It but feels I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, the music does that, too. Like, I love that riff, that clean riff is like...
And again, that's the vocal melody.
It's such a great melody. It's,
yeah, and it comes, and, but I, and I agree. I think with the lyrics, it's surprising how much it pops out to me. You're stuck in a desk. Like, Office Space is a wonderful movie, but it's a comedy. Mm-hmm. This is one where I'm going, like, you're actually turning it into a real emotion. The idea of feeling scared and stuck in a job that you don't like, and you feel like you've fallen off from something you used to have.
Like I said, I was shocked, and not like, I don't know, like, I just wasn't expecting that to come out of an Ozma record based on what I had heard up until this point. I loved it. Yeah, it was really great.
It's a really, really good song selection. And I'm so torn on mine.
You were worried. You were like, what's he going to choose? Is that, that's not, I guess that doesn't show I like energy.
It doesn't, but it's, that song is very beautiful. Everybody, you may have heard just a clip, and if you're not familiar with Ozma, I highly recommend you listen to that song.
To go. But
man, I'm torn. I was kind of going with, you remember what Kevin Devine said about Brother's Blood, how if an alien came down and said, play me your best song, he was
that's,
just like,
that's what he would play.
That's what he would play. So I was trying to go from that kind of perspective on this one. I'm split. If I wanted to go like, hey, listen to them emotional, or listen to them just at their fullest, I'll just start with what I think them at their best, Ozma. It's going to be energetic, and it's also going to be clever. Game Over is so good. And this is where I was going to probably piss you off. I think Game Over has a strong chance against Say It Ain't So. Now look back at the camera pissed off at me.
No, I did my thing. I did my little...
Yeah, I could see it even while you were looking at the screen. It's like, get the fuck out of here. That song...
In what way?
It's everything's in perfect.
What, everything is perfect?
Okay, lyrically, maybe it's not phenomenal, but I don't think Say Anything or Say It Ain't... Sorry, Max. Max Bemis.
Oh, he loved that. Don't worry about Max Bemis.
Yeah, I don't know. Freudian slip, buddy. Sorry. But I don't think that Say It Ain't So is unbelievable lyrics. It's just, it gives you a certain energy behind what's going on. But that song, it just, even when, every time it hits a chorus, I'm like, that's such a good chorus. I want to be in the room the moment that whoever, whether it was Ryan or, I'm forgetting the bass player's name again, but Daniel. Ryan or Daniel, whichever one of you came up with it, but it does seem like it was probably Ryan because I think he sings most of it. But yeah, when it hits that chorus, our game is over. Oh, this game is over. And the way that they actually harmonize with one another and where they pick their spots, and just, yeah, and I think the drums are killer. Everything just, it feels like such a perfect song to me. It really does.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. This is not me being like, oh, Game Over. Game Over, but I don't. Do you know what Ozma feels like to me overall? They feel like a friend's band, like friends that we have that started a band, and I'm really happy that they're in a band. And there are songs where I'm like, oh, that's really good. But it's also like, I don't know, man. A Game Over, it's a song about video games, and I play video games, and it's not about video games. I get it. Like, all their songs are always about breakups through the lens of some pop cultural thing that they
agree with that. They have kind of corny, for lack of a better term, approach to lyric writing, but it still is corny, addressing, it's still addressing a sincere human emotion.
But well, just, and not that corny and cheesy can't be effective. I mean, we both like corny and cheesy bands, right?
One of my favorite people on this planet is really corny and cheesy, Colton Saylor. But you also can be very deep and through your corny and cheesiness.
I'm stroking my beard, about to say something deep right now. I think what the issue is for me, if we're looking like with all these songwriters, and this is a great time to bring this up because it's been a year of all these episodes. Have been so much fun to record with you.
Yeah.
I'm always stuck on the fact of, like, with each songwriter that we're looking at, in this case, we have two primary songwriters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Along with the other people in the band, of course. But whenever you sit to write a song, you have a purpose that you're looking to achieve. And that's not always lyrical content. Sometimes it's the feeling, what you think that song, like, where it should hit, right? Mm-hmm. Either in terms of, like, musicality or, like, lyrical content, melody, but all of it maybe even coming together. Yeah. And it makes the most sense to try to evaluate, as subjectively as evaluating art comes across, how well you think that song has achieved its purpose. That is fine with me. And if I look at it that way, if Ozma is trying to be this nerd pop, power pop band, right, which they are, they're the nerdiest band I think we've done so far. So if I look at this song in terms of that, like, I really like it. And like, are we just going to say this, that this is like, I don't know.
No, no, probably not. Probably
not going to say it, but I love this record.
Yeah. It's great. Great album. And I can see what you mean to where maybe that song feels a little in the wrong album.
Not even. I think it's a great song in that record to push the ideas of that record along, but it's not a song that I would like stand and be like, oh my God, that is.
Yeah. Well, perfection. Well, can I do this? Because I think Game Over is excellent. I think the melodies drive that song so well.
The melody
well.
Is amazing.
Yeah. And you know me, lyrically, I can kind of let some things slide. I didn't hear any obviously bad lyric in the song. So
just a lot of video game puns that are.
Well, first of all, they're
like, can
pun
a brother
game.
Get a piece of heart?
I know. But their pun game is off the charts. The way they'll write lyrics, and I'll get into that a little later as well, in a song in which I think their wordplay is very excellent. But the other option was going to be Natalie Portman.
I was expecting you to choose Natalie Portman.
Yeah. It's a quote I've heard when I first started learning how to play and write music, is there can be beauty in silence. And they have one of the most amazing silent moments. When it hits that pause. Dun, 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 if I'm a proper Jew. That pause makes me do my classic, you know, arms out in the air, like, oh. And I'm doing that pause, like, when that, there's no music playing, and I'm holding my heart. Just going, that's brilliant. It's brilliant. Such a beautiful gap in there. And just the way the song builds on itself, and it does it in a very obvious way. I mean, we both have written songs in a similar fashion to where it's like, yeah, you sing it low, the first chorus, and you kind of pick it up the second chorus. In the last chorus, let's pump it out. And that's a very Ozma approach. It's very formulaic with them. But that song was going to be my second option.
If we're going off of that alien mentality, and it's hard because I think Ozma kind of changes, right? From this Weezer cover band to what feels more like a 90s throwback, like alt / power pop band. I think both of those are good encapsulations of both eras, where Natalie Portman, I agree. That is, I think it's the best song on that record.
Probably is.
I would go for that.
I'm sure there are some that I would kind of throw into the mix, because like Baseball is one that I'm like, I think that song's really good. But
it's weird how much my estimation of Baseball went down when I re-looked at it and realized it wasn't actually about baseball. That was like childlike naivety that I thought that for so long.
I still am concerned. I think there are elements of that song that are straight up about baseball. Like, it was about them when they were playing baseball, but going through other things. That's what I kind of get from it.
From what I understood, it's just the whole thing is just, it's using the language of baseball, but it's like, hey, our team used to be great, and now we broke up. What happened? Yeah, we're the best team in the league. But it's like the team was the relationship.
Yeah, it's almost the lamenting the fact that, like, hey, we're not the same as we used to be. Ballady.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he says on a diamond in the rough, I just go like, that's so cool, man. Like, it's a baseball diamond. I know it's corny, but I love it. I love it, man.
Do you know what I'm realizing? And this is a good realization that this is actually like, and this is from when I met you and like when we would be writing songs also, where you are like, as much as you're this amazing guitarist who, and my friend Sam, we were always pushing you to be like, how much more out there can Rob get? How many more different kinds of chords can he throw at us?
Yeah.
Your allegiance and your admiration for the power chord and like power pop in general, like that is, I think, as much as other parts of your like musical oeuvre, right? So Tool, right? Facing New York. I think power pop is a key part. Even when I hear Default American, I hear it in the best way possible.
Yeah.
I think you're a disciple of power pop.
I can agree with that, but it's four chords and the truth. That's something I really dig in music. I think both of us are kind of minimalistic. Like, we can appreciate progressive ideas in music, but our favorite moments are when it's simpled down to just the bare bones of what's good music.
Our trajectories are different, but our kind of larger philosophy has eventually ended up in the same place. I think both of us at different points, me especially, I was like chords, notes, and weird things. And
well, and I've told you before, you're the one who turned me back around to just like, let me kind of go back to the basics. Now, I mean that as an entire compliment, because I was so enamored by like, I have to be playing like advanced shit on guitar. And all of a sudden you come in and I mean, I don't know what song you played, Cut That Shit Out or something. And I was like, what the fuck? He's just using open fucking chords. And it was such a good song. Your songs you were coming in with. And I was like, I can do that. Like, make this easier on me.
This is not the show to do this, but I feel like we're having, it's like a natural stopping point to say this. That's Connor Oberst. That's Bright Eyes.
Oh, for sure.
That's all that is. Yeah. And but maybe someday soon. I do want to say.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'll just do one. Like,
yeah,
there are times with Ozma, and you'll know what this. I would assume you know what this is. It's the Ryan Show. Whereas in My Friend Sam, it was like, hey, what are we going to do for this segment? Oh, it's a Rob show. Okay, I'll just start soloing.
I would say, though, is that simplicity we're talking about when the chorus of Natalie Portman, that's just, there's nothing I can do. That is where, and like when I heard the song the first time, I thought it as well. That's beautiful, man. That's like the great sentiment. You could argue there's some amount of cringe, and I know it's not about Natalie Portman, right? It is about, yeah, she is a symbol for that person you're kind of longing for. And yeah, that is a universal thing,
of course,
for sure. But that is such a perfect encapsulation. And that's something that Weezer at their best were able to do that they lost. And I think that's what makes Ozma in that first record, people are like, yes, more of this. Because it's emotional earnesty without dressing it up in this really clear, profound way. I totally am with you. I'm more on the Natalie Portman train
than the Game Over. It's okay. That's okay. It just, Game Over just seemed to me like it's just for an upbeat number by Ozma. I felt like it.
And
it
hate energy.
That's the thing. Yeah.
It's but now becoming clear to me.
It seems like it takes in all the forces. But yeah, no, definitely in Natalie Portman when it hits that. For that song, it's such a farty sounding organ when he hits that part.
Sad.
I'm like, I mean the tone works, but it is the emotion that he's saying. Yeah, where he's just,
there's nothing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Now, worst song. I honestly think this should be easy, but we might be different. I don't know.
We might be different. I had a tough time because I think I was alluding to it earlier. I think there are worse songs in my selection, but they're just not memorable enough for me to even want to plop in there because songs that I just forget easily. I listened to two albums about three times and I can't.
I sneezed and Boomtown was over. I don't remember any part of Boomtown. And I tried listening to it again and I realized I don't want to go back to Boomtown.
I listened to, okay, you're
that's
giving,
not a town I want to return to.
I understand. This will be interesting when we get
3-2-1. Do we want a 3-2-1?
Let's give the 3-2-1 another shot.
Okay. 3-2-1.
Fight
the darkness.
All right. Boom, all buddy. Right, amen.
Boom,
yes.
Boom.
Yeah, because that song is memorable.
What an awful,
but in a terrible way.
What
awful
song.
It's terrible. It's
everything.
It's insulting.
Every part.
Yeah.
Musically awful. Like the cheesiest, most obvious transitions. I hate the drum that does a like drum fill into like the fill on the tom. Hacky. Yeah. Everything's hacky and awful.
And then just, that's the chorus. Fight the darkness. Fight the darkness. It's like, son, oh man. And it sounds so much like, you know, I got to bring Weezer back into this. But like with Weezer, they're, you know, this pop punk band that had metal roots.
Right.
You know, and how they came up. And I was kind of like, it feels like that's what they're trying to pull off. It's like, yeah, fight the darkness, thorns on my hand. This is stupid. And I think the idea of what the message is supposed to be is okay.
Yeah, fight the darkness.
Yeah, like try to stay positive. Try not to give in to these negative things in your life. Dude, leave.
But does anyone who's like having a hard time, like, turn on Fight the Dark? If you do, listener, I want to hear about this. But if it's like, God, I'm in a dark place, I need to, I'm getting upset.
That was a bad moment in my listening while I was at work. And
It caught me off guard. It starts right away. And like the song is called Fight the Darkness. And I went, okay, what's going to happen? And then immediately it's Fight the Darkness. Oh, no.
It's such a bummer because especially on that album, besides obviously the two remakes.
Yeah.
Like that feels like it's the closest to what Ozma was. And it's awful.
That's make-believe Weezer. That is. They've completed their make-believe Weezer.
This is why I'm mad at Rivers Cuomo. I'm like, if you guys would have just never crossed paths with Rivers, and now it's like, oh, now we're contemporaries. Now we are colleagues.
I like to blame Rivers Cuomo for a lot. I almost feel guilty blaming him for that. I think
I'm not going to say he's responsible for that song. He's just kind of responsible for them thinking it's okay to do that song.
That's fair. And you know what? In that way, he's responsible for a lot of bad songs that have been written. Because everyone else is like, hey, he could do it. So what are we doing here? Oh, Lord. Okay. Yeah. Those moments. That was beautiful.
Yeah. And I saw when I saw your bottom lip tuck in underneath your teeth, I was like, yes, we're saying the same fight. We're fight saying the fight darkness, the darkness, brother. That's awful. Right.
That's the happiest ever anyone's ever been hearing the title of that song. Underrated.
Let me see here.
I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I will go first on this one.
You got it.
Continental Drift.
That's on a double donkey disc, right?
It is.
God, I hate this title of that record. I agree. Overall, their aesthetic choices, what they call their albums, their cover art.
The alliteration. Is just
it's all bad.
It's and just the again, I can't help it. When I hear donkey, I love the animal. I think it gets a bad rap, but it just makes me feel gross.
The two B's, double donkey.
Yeah, it's the alliteration, the double donkey disc.
No, but they spell double wrong. That's not how you spell.
Oh, that you're right. Well, I can't hold any grudge against two B's. That's just my natural.
You are referred to as 2B.
I am 2B. Depending on in certain our circles. Yeah.
Not but by like your mom, but your mom doesn't call you 2B.
Continental Drift was actually one of my favorite moments in going back and listening to Ozma. Because not only did I forget that song, but I forgot how much I love that song. Like, I love the gentleness of the bass line. They're like, boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden the flute comes in. And then again, it turns into the, like, I'm bored, you're boarding, it's like boarding a flight, you know, and I just love the playfulness of the lyrics in it and how just, the wordplay, I think, is
There was unique. One flute in this record that I was expecting. Is that, who is that? Is that Star?
Here's the thing, my assumption is it's Starwick on keys playing something that sounds like a flute. But again, this is why we got to stop doing bands that never really hit a much larger following. It was hard to find information about
it. It's kind of refreshing to, I agree with you, or it's a band where there's actually not a ton of stuff out there about any of them. And I like that. I don't know, it was hard to be able to talk about
it. All I could find was two interviews. It was one where they were in front of the show that they were playing, and there's like people all around them. Not a great interview. And then the other one was just them in Japan and about as timid, maybe not timid, but about as like reluctant to actually give anything interesting back to the interviewer.
It is. I'm re-listening to parts of Continental Drift again.
I love
You're
it.
Right.
And when it hits that chorus, I'm like, bow, bow, bow. And it does something that I've talked about before. I don't like when you have those abrupt changes. The way they utilize that change is incredible. It's so pretty, and it does the cliche thing that they'll do to where later on when they hit that chorus, he's gonna be an octave higher on the notes. They're gonna be all playing. The drums have kicked in,
and those are where it's the most Weezer, right? Because I hear shades of I've mentioned like Pavement, those like very. Kind of tongue-in-cheek, super ironic, like 90s emo bands, like alt-rock bands. And I'm always kind of pleasantly surprised to hear that when Ozma kind of falls into it. And like the little riff part, the quiet part they do right before the heavy part in Continental Drift, it's that, and it's really nice. And when it hits the chorus again, it's like you said, there's that octave, like...
Yeah.
And it does slip, but it's... I mean, I was shocked how much I enjoyed that record because I was expecting it not.
Because the name is god-awful. It's a terrible album name. I don't
terrible
even know.
Art, everything.
I have no idea how they came up with that name.
They don't strike me as a band with lots of great artistic taste in terms of like how they want to present. And maybe they just don't care, which is great.
I think that's awesome. More of the case. Based off of those interviews I saw, it seems like they were much more into the idea. It was like, we like to play music and then just fuck all the other stuff.
That's fair. That's
They're making money on those cruises.
Hey, man, more power to you. Play as many Weezer's cruises. I
on that
not,
petri dish in the sea.
I would prefer not to, but yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, funny enough, my underrated is from that same album. And I know it was also on another album, but I find that silly.
Great song.
I've understood now. I didn't know it initially that the premise of this record was actually two EPs, and the first five they were like, what if we took like traditional Russian folk songs and melded it with power pop? That to me sounds ridiculous.
It does sound ridiculous.
No one, and not a great way, because I don't know, but that song, if that's their proof of concept, fine, that's great. Like that verse, I was expecting to be more annoyed by the because that's a very like, I don't know, like I said, like I expect like a friend's band to have something like that. Like you go watch a friend who's in a band play a show, and they have like some kind of like giddy up esque like verse part. There's like you're like more playful, I think, with structure when you've never written songs before, right? And so you do things that you would never do once you've written a lot of songs, which can be really great, right?
Yeah.
And that would be something I would normally kind of roll my eyes at, like, that doesn't need to be there. But I don't know, the way, because that chorus is so like silky smooth, and it is Weezer power pop done well.
Absolutely, but it bleeds together so well. And you wouldn't expect, because when it does hit the verse, and it's like, and it kind of speeds itself up, kind of gets a little bit more of, like you said, that giddy up to it. But all of a sudden, when it hits the chorus, it's just like, man, that was, like you said, silky smooth. It just flowed right into this chorus.
It's almost annoying how well it works, because I'm rooting against the song, and the song's like,
I love that. I love, and you know, whatever. It has the moment. It has the moment at the end of the song to where it's like, no one needs to know.
Oh,
and I'm like, I should hate this. I should hate this. It came out of nowhere. It seems corny as fuck, but it's great.
That breakdown was actually, I'm so happy you caught that, because I heard it again today. I was like, oh my God, where'd that happen?
And it seems like, I don't know, it seems like it's really hard to make that not sound stupid, for lack of a better term. It's really hard to make that not sound like a bad idea, but they killed it. They kill it on that song.
Because they feel very versatile in the verses, they earn themselves some of that kind of heavier, like, for lack of a better word, kind of like metalhead-esque like riffage, right? Yeah, it's
I mean, are you kidding me? That's their drop. That's their hardcore drop in a song, you know.
And also
open this pit just, up.
It's very fun to play drops. Like
it is. Yeah.
For we had a, what was it? It was a God Was a Dinosaur, I think it was. Or no, was it a Ostrich Farm?
Sure. The answer is sure.
We've had like two drops or so, and we were very dismissive of breakdowns and drops. They're very fun to play.
Just because we're talking about Ozma, and this actually kind of came to my mind because, Max, I'm assuming you're listening, but Max and I were in a band, Compliments of Apollo, to where it was the closest I've been into a hardcore band, and all of my drops were that just over-the-top exaggerated, like that moment.
I remember watching you play a show where you played a drop, and I was like, look at him.
Seems a little out of place. It does seem a little out of place, yeah. But I think the drops were great, but it was because I think we did it kind of in a similar fashion of what Weezer or Ozma just did.
Every time you do that, I just look at you with this knowing look.
The
like,
smirk on Colton's face is just like, told you. But it was utilized the right way to where it's playful and it doesn't take itself too serious. I like that.
It is. All right. Overrated. I can quickly go first. I don't want to harp on this. I think I've made my point. My like throwaway overrated was going to be the Tetris theme song. I don't know.
I understand that, but
And I did what you did.
So
I went to their
fun.
Spotify most played.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that's something like you throw on a mixed CD to someone like a friend to be like, oh, look, it's a Tetris theme song. It's hard. I'm maybe this is my grouchy side. I just don't have time for that anymore. I'm just like, okay.
I kind of get it because I watched a live performance of that. Somebody's camera phone, you know, recording
right.
it. And the show was great. And that song killed. I was like,
oh,
that's
I'm sure.
It's wonderful. But when I listened to it a couple of days ago, just trying to listen to the album, I was like, I know what happens. Skip. I felt bad about that, but I was like, you know what? I need to listen to this whole album. And I need to take in as much as I can. This is great. It does sound awesome, but I'm skipping. I got to get to other things.
The same issue I have with like people on like TikTok and like different videos now that are doing like different like musical things done in a viral fashion, where I think once you wipe off the novelty of what they're doing that feels weird or unique, and it's like with bands that cover other things, right? Where once you wipe off the novelty of, oh, this band is like covering this other band, they shouldn't be covering them, or how unique that they're doing that. Yeah. At another point, I'm like, I just can't care anymore. But I'm talking way too much about a song that is not truly my overrated.
No, and now I want to elaborate further on that one, because I think that one made them even more listened to by a lot of people. It's like, oh, it's a Tetris theme song.
Like I said, it's one of their top played on Spotify.
I think you nailed
Apple
it with
Trees,
novelty.
Though, Apple Trees is my overrated. It is the worst offender of Weezer. Like, that is a Weezer song, and I refuse to believe it's not. Like, if that was took into a court of law, that would be grounds for, I don't know. I don't think they made any money off of Apple Trees, but...
Have you ever seen Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, the second one?
I'm familiar with that work of cinema. Yes, I am.
Yes, where he has the poem that he recites to the girl he's trying to woo at the end. I'm like, it's Apple Tree. He's using math to describe how he feels about this. Take a number like 5... times 10, then do it again.
That's Weezer. That is Weezer. So that vocal melody, I stop and I go, dude, stop. Just stop.
And
like,
the
here's
lyrics
the thing.
Are corny, but I think
there has to be a moment where we tell Ozma, knock it off. Stop being Weezer. No, bad. It's weird. It's weird.
It's not weird.
I was bringing in the what was the movie I talked about with you before this? The Assassination of Jesse James. Yeah. By the coward Robert Ford. Listener, if you have not seen this film, first of all, it's the only movie that I keep the DVD in my car just so I can look at it. It's like one of my favorite films ever made.
I've known that about you. You're actually the reason I sat down and actually watched the movie, and it's a great movie.
Oh my God, it's perfect.
Can we just say this? Like, Ben Affleck, your brother's a better actor.
Casey Affleck is amazing. Yeah. In that film, him and Brad Pitt is, it's all so great. Andrew Dominique is such a cool director. But to me, the Robert Ford, Jesse James relationship, that is Ozma and Weezer. Down to the fact that Jesse James needs to keep Robert Ford, who so much wants to be him and like idolizes him. He needs to keep him close to him more or less because he recognizes him as a threat. And there's like an eerie uncanniness as he gazes at him. And Ozma, or I don't know if Ozma assassinates Weezer, but when I hear Apple Trees, I just imagine Robert Ford reading Jesse James dime store books in his little cot. eerie.
I understand. The only areas where it doesn't work out to me is it seems more like Jesse James would have assassinated Robert Ford in the Ozma Weezer relationship. I think Weezer actually found a way to ruin Ozma through
keep
getting to
close.
Know them.
Yeah, keep them close.
So,
hey, you want to write some songs on a record?
Yeah, I would just switch the roles a little bit there. But Apple Tree, I can see. But it's so difficult for me because it's what we said in the Weezer episode. I think I sent you a message the other day saying, if you get a chance, listen to our Weezer episode.
I did. I was prepared for it because I was like, yeah, we need to.
I'm just imagining Brad Pitt shooting Casey Affleck. All of a sudden, I've switched.
Yeah, it's a very, there's a Yogi Bear take up of the assassination, that famous scene. Uh-huh. Where Robert Ford assassinates Jesse James, everybody, spoiler, but it's literally the title.
It's in the title. It should.
I just can't. Yeah. Apple Trees is almost unlistenable for me now because I can't not hear.
You can't not hear
how
Weezer.
Eerily vibey it is to Weezer.
What do you expect? when I said with Rivers, where I'm like, what are we expecting from Rivers Cuomo? Are we expecting brilliant fucking lyrics? No, we're not. It has to be, the melodies have to work, and that can carry it enough, because the lyrics are not going to be good.
Yeah, it's like I said, it is like a perfect kind of mimicry. It's like giving acting awards to people who play historical characters, right? Where at some point, all you're really giving them awards for is being able to mimic this person that we have all this footage of really, really closely, which is difficult to skill, but it's hard to see it as artistic. And it's hard for me to see Apple Trees as artistic because it is such a one-to-one cover that I don't know. Anywho.
I mean, I don't know. Freaking Jim Carrey and Man on the Moon. It was an incredible performance, but
we're dropping movie takes. I love it.
My overrated.
Yeah.
Is Eponine.
Which version?
That's exactly why. Why on earth did you guys feel you needed to re-record that song?
And make it shorter, right? It is shorter.
It's shorter. It's a worse performance of it. And that might be bias. It might be just from how familiar I was.
No, it is. I agree with you. It is worse.
Did you really think that on this album, it's like, oh, we got to do it again? And I'm like, that song was good. And on the album, I think it's okay. And also, they play it live all the time. And I can't find live performances of better songs off of that album. So I just had to go with it. It just kind of popped in. And I don't think it's a bad song. Here we go. 1 year in, I'm saying it all over again. It's not a bad song. It's just overrated. But as to why that has so much popularity on an album in which I think there are much better songs.
Yeah. It's one of those songs to me where bands, there feels to me an energy around Ozma where they're graded on a curve with things that they do with their band or their fans, which, funny enough, is very Weezer, right?
Of course.
Weezer fans are the ultimate grade on a curve fans of all time. And I think the fact that they have a song, it's like meant to be kind of a mini epic, right? With lots of different parts and a big closer. Like the idea of like one of your favorite bands, if not your favorite band, doing a version of that kind of song and being like, yes, this is amazing because they're doing a song like this. And their version of this song is now my favorite one because they are my favorite band. I can see how that kind of song catches on. But
and I can definitely tell from seeing the live performances. That's where... I believe it's Jose Garcia. He's actually playing a vocal part in the performance. So I think they love the song on how much they all get to share. But it's just like, enjoy the live performance. For the life of me, and I will get into this a lot more a little down the road in this podcast. I mean, I have no idea why those two songs are on a particular album.
It's so strange. And like, those two in particular, we have done in the past, our new fashion is to start with worst album and end on our high note of the best. Do we want to do another 3-2-1? I would be shocked.
I don't think we are going
to
have
that's
this.
Fair. Well, then I better just start. Pasadena to me is
worst album?
Yeah.
Okay. 3-2-1. Pasadena.
Okay.
Sorry. I thought you were going for best album. Sorry.
Oh, no. And to me, Boomtown, it's like Boomtown's not a good album. And the fact that they have the other people come on and sing and perform. So Weezer.
So it is. Even though I will say this much for Boomtown, I think the first two tracks were so promising.
Yeah.
I really liked the name's escaping me for the song because naturally we're recording.
Who could remember that album? I don't know. I can't remember.
I agree. It's a nothing burger, but I like Around the World in 80 Seconds and Nervous where Starwick gets to sing for the first time. I think it's great. I think that song is great.
Sang on Pasadena. It was a really awful song, though, which is why you might have Heartache versus Heartbreak.
No, that's somebody else.
That's not Starbreak. Wow.
No, that's
hey,
somebody
Starbreak,
else.
I apologize.
Yeah. Don't you do that to her. And also Heartache versus Heartache was close to being my overrated. And I was like, I don't even think anybody knows.
I just kept yelling, it's the same thing.
Yeah. But Nervous, I thought was beautiful. And I love that song. That was almost going to be my overrated my underrated.
Girlfriend, You're the One was almost my worst. God, what a slog, bad. Man.
That's a very upsetting song.
Right. Actually, more I'm looking at this, I'm actually remembering a lot more.
I'm sure I could too, but fuck it. Pasadena.
Pasadena is bad.
It's a bad album. That last half, I understand what they're trying to do, but there's nothing for me to hold on to. And when you listen to Ozma, there's always something that pops in the song. And on this album, outside of two remakes, which they're basically doing the same thing. Nothing. I mean, Fight the Darkness. Yeah, I can. There is something that I'm like, yeah, the pops, the bad.
I Wonder was really atrocious. That's that like kind of acoustic-y. Yeah. But Motorology is the one where with that like electronic opening, my eyes almost rolled out of my head.
It was so, it felt like it was about to be something cool, and then it just wouldn't. And then all of a sudden it just turns into a different song. And I'm like, what is this intro?
It's a kind of record to me where like it is not fitting to what they did before that, right? Because they have put out good records before this. Yeah. And it's such a weird, confusing album to make. And I know it was after a while, and like they had a new drummer, right? Was part of it maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe
it is.
There's some things you could argue that have changed, but yeah. It's so creatively bankrupt, I think is the word I would use. There's not a creative choice in that record. There's not a, like, and they have proven themselves to be creative, and they have proven that they can be artful.
I thought Lunch Break was a possibility on the album. I thought it was a possibility, but then that song just falls apart on itself. And I'm like, what am I supposed to gravitate to? I don't know what the hell is happening.
Yeah.
I can see it's what we were talking about before, to where I know that they wanted to be virtuosos. They wanted to be really musically effective. They wanted to be musicianship. They wanted to showcase it. And I think with a lot of the songs, especially on the second half, to where in my mind listening to it, I was thinking, okay, they're going for like a musical sense. They're going for some sort of like thematic vibe to it. But the chord progressions are just awful. They're awful choices. What you said about I Wonder.
So weird. And the melodies are droning.
Yeah.
And the melodies were their strong. I think the melodies were one of the strongest parts of those first three albums.
Uh-huh. Of course. Yeah. It was something you could hold on to where it just felt like, especially a song in particular with I Wonder, it just feels like they're like, hey, let's throw these chords out and then let's find the notes that will function with it. It's like, okay, yeah, you're not hitting the wrong note, but you are hitting the wrong song.
Can I put a special shout out to how truly bad I think the album art is for Pasadena? It just is. I don't know. I just had to throw that out. their
I
album
like
art
the
overall.
Floating neon traced. What is that? A bug?
Oh, it's a car. It's a car. Oh yeah, bug. Oh, a bug. Yeah, Volkswagen, a little like a CGI planet in the back, Mars or something.
Yeah, it's a terrible cover.
It is.
Honestly, but I mean,
not when I go to Pasadena.
Really don't want to judge them based off of their covers, because that's a really low ranking if the time comes.
That matters, man. That matters for me. But we've been able to combine our worst categories, which has been very nice.
I always enjoy that. And honestly, Rob, while you're editing this down, I'm sure you're very happy with that too. Nothing beats when we agree on something. I'm like, cool, I just got to put one song in and find its place.
We're rolling, man. I want to just quickly get my best album out of the way, because I want you to cook on your best one. My best is the one I've been talking about all the time, Spending Time on the Borderline, because it's the song album to me where it's like, actually, I hear what I think an Ozma record is meant to be, like in Ozma in the truest sense. Like, this is not a record I think Weezer could write. Mm-hmm. It's not a influenced, right, by other bands, including parts of Weezer. But if this was the band that opened up, I think my thoughts on Ozma would be very different. I don't know. Like, this was a collection of, I think, really good songs.
Oh,
and
man, it's really good. It is at their most mature, but also with the right songwriting sensibility. And the reason I say mature is that that's really their musicianship, but without them kind of getting carried away by trying to be too much into the musicianship.
I agree with that. I think there's
still songwriting that is just excellent execution.
And just to go back to energetic, Turtleneck Cover Up is super fun. Turtleneck Cover Up. Oh my God. That's great. And it's silly, but it works really nicely.
Well, Bad Dogs is another one that's kind of on the same category to me. And it's horrible lyrics. It really is, like, in the sense of just like, man, that's cheesy, but it works so damn well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other two that I want to make sure I talk about, one is Spending Time. When that verse melody comes in, I'm so caught off guard every time. And it's so interesting. Slow down.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's really cool. And
it's a very cool choice.
Yeah. That's a great opener anyway. Out of the two previous albums, even though this isn't going to be my favorite album, but it once upon a time was my obvious choice, but it kind of shifted. That's the best opener they have on any album.
That's cool. Yeah, it's a good opener.
And we already kind of did the dance with it earlier.
It's one of the few times where they zig instead of zag. Like, I'm so expecting the verse to be the big, meaty pop punk melody. And when they don't give us that, I'm like, this is what I want from Ozma. This is so cool. And Come Home Andrea, I had to mention this.
Great song.
It's a weird song to put on that album, but God, it's like weird. It's great. And it's a fastball down the middle. Like, that melody you've heard a million times before. That chord, it's like the da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm not sure if it's a D to G, but it might as well be a D to G.
You're talking in the morning when we wake. In the morning when we wake. Still stuck in a dream.
Yeah.
But you're right. It does seem like it's utilizing something that I've already heard before, to where it's just, but I mean, screw it. That Ozma is kind of stuck in this universe.
But it's, again, I think I've said this before, it succeeds in spite of itself. Even though when I hear it, I'm like, oh, come on. Like, my initial instinct is to get really judgmental. Like, I'm rooting against this song working. And Come On Andrea is like, whatever, man. I'm working.
It's functioning. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. And I know that song is actually one of the few things I got to know for sure was based off of interviews. He wrote that song. The bass player wrote that song for his girlfriend. Daniel wrote it for his girlfriend, Andrea, who he loves very much. That was the end of his elaboration on that song.
Well said.
Yeah. Daniel. I'm like, all right, that's beautiful. but the one that I would like to bring up on this album, because it is a really good album, is Light Years Will Burn. And I know, again, based off of interviews, that this time Ryan said very, very quickly that they were listening to a lot of ELO. And when he said that, I'm like, I get it. And I can hear it on certain songs that I don't care for it. But Light Years Will Burn, because it's Light Years, and how the music all functions together, I think that song is so well written and so well orchestrated and put together. The composition is just extraordinary and such a good ending to the album.
Can I check in with you about something? I'm like looking at the lyrics to Light Years Will Burn, and is this a concept record that I am not aware of?
I don't think so. What? Okay, let's see. So
I mean, Genius, the website, is user generated, so you can't always trust everything. But someone's saying, "Oh, Light Years Will Burn is about the same crew from Spending Time, and them kind of being lost in space forever." I don't know. People, listeners, tell us if you think this is true. Ozma, tell us.
Yeah, I told Ryan to shoot us an email, but you know what, Daniel, if you want to, Jose, if you want to,
Star.
Your old drummer when if you're listening right now.
That fifth person. I was so pleasantly surprised by this album. I agree with you with Light Years Will Burn. Really, I can't think of a single track on here. Maybe, what is it, Eponine?
That's
the one where I'm the most kind of, I'm out by the end of the song.
And but really only their fault to her. It's like, yeah, no, originally I thought it was great, but then you brought it back for some reason. Like, oh, it wasn't supposed to be on that album. Now I'm like, maybe it wasn't.
Pasadena, man. But I am going to guess. I'm going to guess. I want you to just tell me, what is your favorite album? What is the best album?
You would guess incorrectly.
I respect you, man. I respect you so much.
Yeah, I love Rock and Roll Part 3. I love that album.
I was ready to go to war with you right now. I was like, I gotta put my foot down. But Double Duck, I'll buy it. I'm in.
Dude, I think Flight of Yuri Gagarin is such a cool opener when it goes into that Russian like bum 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 bum. I think it's fucking killer. No one needs to know the good version.
Yep.
And then of course the Tetris theme. But you know the story is like Weezer wishes. Weezer wishes they wrote that chorus. And that chorus is so simple, but for some reason, just like, you know the story, you know the story. I think it's incredible writing. And then
this is the album they put up by themselves, right? Like, they put this out independently after they do Rock and Roll. And then once they get signed to Kung Fu Records, it gets re-released. But this is like all of them.
Yeah, if you look on Spotify, this looks like it's the newest album.
That's funny.
Based off of the year it's released. Yeah, this came out in 2019 based off of Spotify.
Wow.
Yeah, which that would make their last album their best album to me, so I'll just go with it. But yeah, and the fact that at the end of You Know the Story, it's actually like a music interlude into Landing of Yuri Gagarin. And then The Business of Getting Down, it's exactly what you said before. Tour when it first starts, I'm like, I'm rooting against this song. My assumption is it's a bad song. And then every time, I'm like, it's not a bad song. They do a great job. Even when it hits the, like, get down to business, the business of getting down, get down to business. I want to hate it, because if you hear me just doing that, I understand that the listener right now is going, like, that's stupid. But what they do with it musically is not. They show a way of just handling everything correctly. And this is the reason I'm doing this track by track, everybody, is because the album flows in this way. Maybe in an alternate dimension. Great.
It's funny that it's meant to be, I think, two EPs, because it does work really nicely. Even though it's got like that Russian folk opener vibe, and then it moves into what I understand from them as they're more kind of dance oriented, right? Or party tracks. But you're right. If we're thinking of album as the way that these tracks work cohesively with each other, even Tetris works technically, right? And how it kind of takes you between No One Needs to Know and You Know the Story. I buy it. It's not one I think I enjoyed as much as you, but
I think my main point when I listen to this is I know this was them. You can hear a lot of Weezer-esque stuff, but like I said before, there's a lot of Weezer wishes at that time. In the mid-90s, Weezer could have. But at that point in time, Weezer could not write these songs.
The story of Ozma, and weirdly, I mean, the story of Weezer, right, is there's a lot that can be forgiven in an album or in a track if you have a really great sense of, like, song dynamics, like where you're going with the verse into the chorus, and melody. How the melody, like how it gets developed from the verse into the chorus, but also like how you feature the melody in really interesting ways. Like that to me, and like that's pop songwriting 101 anyway, right? That is like the way to get someone hooked. And of course there's other things like how do you mix in lyrics with the melody? I'm never going to be the one to be like, there's a lyric on this Ozma track I got to think about. But what I think you're pointing out that I think is true, it doesn't have to. Even if they give you certain things that resonate with you emotionally, if they're doing it right, that can be something you know. You'll only notice it if you like it. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't have to.
I mean, there's nothing I can do, which obviously is not off this album, but it's like, that's one of their best lyrics. Is that because that's a good lyric, or is it because it's presented the right way?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Man. Ozma, everybody. Well, I thought we were going to come out like usual.
Of course.
I thought we were going to come out of this in much more disagreement. But hey.
Well, everybody, if you're enjoying this podcast, please enjoy our commercial break.
Take the commercial break.
You gotta check out this podcast that's about to be talked about. It's very fun, and it's a lot more informative than Colton and I just living in the past. But I like living in the past with you, Colton. What is that?
I thought it was like the commercial. Go to the commercial noise.
What, the radio thing?
Oh, that's what it is. My bad.
We'll see you guys on the other side of this commercial break.
I thought we were in the break. Oh, God.
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast.
And we're back, everybody.
Hey, hey. Welcome back.
We hope you enjoyed our discussion of Ozma. I really enjoyed our discussion of Ozma.
I think it went a lot better than I was anticipating.
It
I
went
think
a lot better than our discussion of Weezer. How about that?
I kind of agree, but I was, because I told you I listened to it again, I've been telling people for the longest time, do not listen to our first episode. Like, listen to the most recent if you're going to dive into this podcast.
One might say that the Ozma Know Your Rights episode is the better version of the Weezer episode of Know Your
Rights.
Amen.
I like that. I like that. Even though I was ultimate... just about to say that actually I'm okay with people listening to the first episode now.
Oh my God. No.
But that's fine.
I think it's great. I like our first episode.
I was pleasantly surprised. I don't like our second episode just because of, like, there were recording issues with it.
Recording issues were made. That is true. But you know what, learned. Everybody? We're on our journey. And for those of you who have been here since day one, oh my God. I mean, we're not even that far in.
That's right. Still. Our P1s, but we appreciate it.
We appreciate you. And do you know we're what so happy is? For sticking around. No.
P1 is a radio term for, like, if you listen to a radio show, like I listen to Mason in Ireland all the time.
Uh-huh.
I'm a P1, where it's like I listen to it daily. Where there's some people who are casuals, you know, who will kind of dive in here and there.
If you're a casual, P1s.
Oh, yeah. Well, I appreciate the casuals as well.
But not as much, right? I don't appreciate them
as much. Hell no. Hell no.
P1, thank you, everybody.
That's right. Amen.
I still don't know what
my rating is. I was just working it out.
Here's the thing. In the most classical ways, because ratings don't matter, if I was going to say Ozma is molding themselves after Weezer, I would give them a 5 out of 10 because that is the Weezer rating.
I was just thinking that, too, just during our quick intermission. He can't give them a 5.
They're Weezer plus 1. They're 6 out of 10.
Okay. Makes me feel a lot
6 better. Out of 10. Weezer plus 1.
Okay. Now, going off of the Weezer line that we have for this, what should we call that? We should come up with a name for the Weezer line.
The Cuomo.
The Weezer line? Yeah, the Cuomo.
The Cuomo.
The Cuomotion.
The Cuomo. The Quonolibrium. I don't know. We'll workshop it, everybody. But yeah, it's getting there.
Because Weezer, I think Ozma has 3 great albums, and I think Weezer has 2 great albums.
Fair.
And if I only had to judge those albums just mentioned, both of them would get like probably like a 9 or a 9.5. But because Pasadena and Boomtown came out, I can't give them an 8. I just can't give them an 8, so I'll go 7.9. What the hell?
Really? That's high score.
That's how much I love those first
three
albums.
They're your boys. I get and girls, and they're your people.
When we were talking about Facing New York and how influential they were to me, Ozma was actually really close to that same level of impact on how I felt I wanted to write music. You know?
That is power pop personified. It really is. And that is, at least in those first 3, I totally agree with you. That's some really interesting power pop. Wow.
Just memorable songwriting. They wrote songs on those first 3 albums that it didn't take me a few listens. Like what we were talking about with Boomtown and Pasadena, there's songs on there that I'm like, I've listened to those albums 3 times. And I still can't really remember what the hell is happening.
This overly synth. And that's why I was like a little bit hesitant to give Starwick the magic sauce thing is I think that the synth is what sinks that band in those last 2 records. So much of it. And that's what makes those songs all sound the same is the synth is.
I can't go entirely against her. I do agree that it's overly synth, but I'm also going like, honestly, the rest of them aren't doing anything to.
I was going to say, who's to say it's her fault necessarily, right? But she's like, she's probably like, hey, are we going to do something? And they're like, well, melody.
Yeah.
It is time for me to, and I know, which is the great thing. I actually know what we're doing. Finally,
we have prepared Colton here.
And I have been grading. I'm back into grading. Again, everyone, I know you want to hear about it. But this is actually, and I was taking breaks from Ozma with this band. And I actually dug out my CD of one of their records and was listening to it in my car, a CD, which I've not done in a long time.
I think I know who it is.
I was like, this is great. This is so much fun. Ozma's one of your people.
I think I know who it is.
This is one of my, this person specifically.
Do you want to give
taking
me hints?
The role of, I'm going to in a second.
Well, I was going to say, because I could guess, I think I know who
it is. It's a single songwriter for the most part, but it's not their name.
Uh-huh.
It's a band name. Okay. Uh-huh. Wow, look at this. You're ready to go.
I think I know who it is.
Hands down.
Okay, I was going to say Bright Eyes.
It's not Bright Eyes.
Well,
we're not there yet. That's a big one.
I was actually nervous that it was going to be that. I was like, man, that's going to be a lot. Like,
where do we start and what do we listen to? That's a tricky conversation. Okay, listeners, it's going to come. All right, hands down.
Hands down. And if I'm not mistaken, you said that you would really love for you, Alex, and I to discuss this.
This is a different band now.
It's a different one. Okay.
Yeah. I should have told you that ahead of time. Yeah.
Okay. Hands down. No, I got nothing.
Okay. Vindicated.
I am familiar with the Dashboard Confessional. Huh?
Dashboard Confessional, baby.
Interesting.
Oh, I love your face. You're like, that was the face of a man who realizes he's going to listen to four albums of Dashboard Confessional in the next 2 weeks.
And an artist that I don't have that much familiarity with. It is almost reciprocation for, like, you have told me about your love for this artist, and I have just never checked it out. Probably was out of self-defense, just me going like, no, screw you.
I think this and Ozma will make very interesting pairs, because this is, I think, both of us, aside from some pretty rough new metal bands, this is where a lot of my like songwriting origin starts from.
Yeah.
Like Chris Carrabba. So it's going to be the Swiss Army Romance, that year 2000, up to Dusk and Summer 2006.
Okay. I have a feeling I'm going to like the first two albums more than I'll like the last two albums.
We'll see. Because
you know what song I didn't like, and it's the hint that gave it away for me. I don't like Vindicated.
Well, all right, buddy.
Well, I didn't.
We're not on the categories.
I didn't like
it. We're not doing the categories. Swiss Army Romance, The Places You Have Come to Fear the Most, A Mark, A Mission, A Brand, A Scar from 2003, and Dusk and Summer. Here's the thing. I'm just going to tell everyone right now. The thing I'm excited about is I get to talk about Mike Marsh, who is one of my favorite drummers of all time. Okay. And I think he is exceptional, and I'm already telling you right now, I'm carving out space to talk about him for periods of time where people will be like, no one's ever talked about Mike Marsh this much. I just think he's amazing. So
awesome.
There you go, everybody. Enjoy your dashboard.
I'm really looking forward to this.
This was great. Here's to another year. And everyone else, P1s and casuals and first time. What do they call first timers? P2s.
All you virgins.
Whatever you're going to be called.
It is always a pleasure, Colt. I'm glad we do this.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Not always, but I mean, I'm glad.
It's often a pleasure.
There you go. All right, thanks, everybody.